The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness. A cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings as planets in this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today we're going to consider the covenant of Yeshua, forgiveness, and much more. An overview. I periodically get emails from people who take issue with me because I state that Yeshua, incorrectly, Jesus is a human being, a created being, and is not God in the flesh. People also seem to not understand the covenant of Yeshua. And so I want to elaborate today on the covenant of Yeshua, what it entails, and as I've said, forgiveness and much more. We'll discuss what a covenant is and then summarize the covenant through Yeshua. You will then discuss the privileges of the covenant and also the requirements of the covenant. We will then mention the price for failing, time in the place of correction, hell. We will then note that the covenant through Yeshua makes the above easier, and then discuss the covenant meal as a simple ritual for forgiveness of sin. We will then note that the right to enter heaven when you die, commonly referred to as salvation, is qualified. We'll talk about the right to earn a rank in heaven when you die. We'll also see that the covenant covers forgiveness for confessed and repented sin through prayer in the name of Yeshua. We will note that there is easier access to answers to prayers through prayer in the name of Yeshua, and that there is authority over the satanic and demonic realm through prayer in the name of Yeshua. Finally, we will look at your state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It is the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, TV programs, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show in the top menu and podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least four podcast websites that have back issues of these broadcasts. So today we're going to consider the Article 2022-1106, The Covenant of Yahushua, Forgiveness, and much more. There is a lot said and written about Yahushua, the anointed of Yah of Nazareth, incorrectly Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And a huge number of people have faith and belief in him and about him. But there is a lack of clarity about what exactly the covenant that he consummated on behalf of humankind entails. This broadcast seeks to address this by listing the key elements of the covenant. It's no good just believing that Yeshua died for you. You need to understand what he bought with his death. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So what is a covenant? To start with, what exactly is a covenant? A covenant is a solemn promise between two parties in terms of which each party gives solemn undertakings. In particular, the entering into a covenant entails the shedding of blood, and the blood signifies that there's a death penalty for breaking the covenant. Folks, it's important to understand this. You can talk about the New Covenant or the New Testament, which is an inaccurate translation. New Covenant is the correct translation. And say, well, Jesus did this and Jesus did that and Jesus did the rest. But you need to understand that if you don't shape up in terms of that covenant, you're going to go to hell. Hell is not a place that unbelievers go to. Hell is a place that believers who die in sin go to for correction before they go to heaven. I can't stress this enough. You cannot become a believer and just carry on in your own casual, whatever way, continuing with your sin, etc., and saying that you're covered by grace. It doesn't work that way. We're called to live above sin. We're called to live without sin. And if you sin and don't repent and don't confess and receive forgiveness through the covenant of Yeshua, you will go to hell when you die and pay the price for your unconfessed, unrepented sin. It's as simple as that. Hell has nothing to do with unbelievers. Yah is not interested in unbelievers. So let's look at summarizing the covenant through Yeshua. In the case of the covenant through Yeshua, the promises are very one-sided. Yah, the Almighty Creator, and Yeshua undertake to deliver on a range of promises to any person who believes in the Almighty Creator through or via the covenant of Yeshua. In terms of this covenant, any human being who enters into this covenant by faith will be entitled to fulfillment of a range of promises which include eternal life in heaven, with a glorious resurrected body determined on the basis of their level of faithfulness and service to Yah in recognition of the covenant. So we're going to talk for the next half hour or so about all the different things that you as a believer in and through the covenant of Yeshua receive free, gratis, and for nothing from the Creator. As I've just said, if you break covenant, and in particular, really the two things that Father expects for you, from you in terms of this covenant, and the one is you live without sin. Yeshua showed that it was possible to live on earth without sinning. You are expected as a believer to live without sin. If you don't live without sin, as I've just explained, you will go to hell. Secondly, there is a reward for how you conduct your life on earth. So the covenant provides for you to actively serve Father in this life, to lay down your life for Him, to work for His kingdom, to work for His objectives, to work for people to be in relationship with Him. And there's a reward for that. And as I said at the beginning of this broadcast, if you don't shape up, if you just carry on as though He doesn't exist, you'll end up in the outer darkness, which is a really horrible place. In fact, you're almost better not to become a believer than to become a believer who has no relationship with Father. To understand how this covenant came into existence, read the article 2020:10:01, The Miraculous Planning of the Death of Yeshua, Where, How, and What. It's on the website, fairly far up the main menu. To understand the rewards for faithful service in terms of the covenant, read the articles, Where Are You Headed? And The Demographics of the Kingdom of Yah in December 2015. Folks, Yahushua's death was the culmination of a whole lot of planning that took place over several thousand years, things that were put in place several thousand years before Yeshua. So when He died the way that He died, certain things were actioned, one of which was this covenant that we're talking about. And He became the high priest, He became the offering for sin, and so on and so forth, and we'll talk about all of these in a minute. But if you don't understand the miraculous life and death of Yeshua, I strongly suggest you read this article, The Miraculous Planning of the Death of Yeshua. And then if you don't understand what the rewards are when you die, if you have lived a faithful life, read the article on the demographics of the kingdom and the one on Where Are You Going. So let's talk about the privileges of the covenant. Fundamentally, if one enters into the covenant of Yeshua, one will receive, firstly, the right to enter heaven when you die, commonly referred to as salvation. Secondly, the right to earn a rank in heaven when you die. Thirdly, forgiveness for confessed and repented sin through prayer in the name of Yeshua. And fourthly, easier access to answers to prayers through prayer in the name of Yeshua. And there's other points which I'll talk about in a minute. But basically what happens when you come to believe that Yah exists, you earn the right to enter heaven. As I said a minute ago, you've got various ranks that you can qualify. So you can end up in the outer darkness. You can end up as a foolish virgin. You can end up as an adulterous wife. You can end up as a good and faithful servant. You can end up as a wise steward. You can end up as an overcomer. You can end up as a friend or a general. If you end up as a friend, you end up on a high throne close to Yeshua for eternity. If you just scrape into heaven as a foolish virgin, you still have a glorious body and some rank, but you're far from the throne. It's so important to understand this, folks. If you don't understand that there is a huge reward for living life right before Father in this life, you're going to miss the point. And if you don't understand that the fundamental non-negotiable terms of the covenant of Yeshua are that you live life without sin because he provided a way for you to receive forgiveness for sin if you do slip and you repent. Then the fifth point, authority over the satanic and demonic realm through prayer in the name of Yeshua. Sixthly, easier access to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, infilling with the Spirit of Yah, inaccurately called Christ, through prayer in the name of Yeshua. Easier access to divine healing through prayer in the name of Yeshua. Easier access to divine provision through prayer in the name of Yeshua. And there are other promises, but the ones I've listed are the main ones. So as a believer, you are able to cast out demons, tear down principalities, power, thrones, and dominions, etc. You have the right to be filled with the Spirit of Yah, and you have the right to qualify to speak in unknown tongues and unknown language. You have the right to walk in divine health. You have the right to be healed of any infirmity. You have the right to walk in divine provision and walk in financial abundance through prayer, through obedient service, through working hard and clever, through seeking wisdom. What you need to understand is this is not a free ride. There's a definite quid pro quo. You have to do the things that I've just talked about if you're really going to cut it in terms of this covenant. It's not a free ride, folks, which is something that a lot of people seem to think it is. It's not that easy to live without sin. It's possible. I've been doing it for now, I don't know, 20 years. And it took quite an uphill struggle to get there. But there's the information you need on the website to learn how to do that. Then the requirements of the covenant. In exchange, one is required to believe in the Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing through Yeshua. If you don't believe the Creator exists, I'm sorry, you're not going to make it into heaven, and you don't qualify for the covenant. And you need to believe that Yeshua exists and that he died for this covenant. Then, as I've said a couple of times now, and I'm going to repeat, you need to seek to love, to live above sin, and to be quick to repent of sin and remember the covenant through the covenant meal, the bread and wine, commonly but incorrectly referred to as communion or the sacraments. And then do your best to serve Yah in whatever capacity you find to do this. Be his representative on earth. If you're listening to this and you're not sure whether you're a believer or not, there are articles on the website, the essence of my message to people who don't believe, and the essence of my message regarding creation. Go and read those articles. There is evidence all around you that the Creator exists. Regarding Yeshua, a little bit more difficult. You can read the Bible. You can talk to people who know about him. The first thing, though, is to believe in the Creator. Then you're at least through the starting gate. Seek to live above sin, and then do your best to serve Yah in whatever capacity you find. As I said a minute ago, the price for failing is time in the place of correction, hell. To the extent that one does not live without sin and does not repent and rehearse the covenant to obtain forgiveness, one will spend time in hell suffering inconceivable torment for a period consistent with the duration of your sin. See the article 2022-08-03, Believers in Hell for Unrepented Sin. Folks, I really want to stress this point. Yeshua died a terrible death. He was tortured. He was flogged. He was abused. He was shouted at. He was beaten. He was nailed to the stake. He hung on that stake in excruciating agony, struggling to breathe until he died. And the soldier pierced his side and his heart with a spear, and he died of a broken heart. And blood and water flowed down the stake through the earthquake crack onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. See the article on Yeshua's death for that. And why should you think you can carry on sinning? I'm sorry, folks. It's silly. Yeshua died a terrible death so you could be forgiven for your sin, and the majority of believers go running around and they continue to sin. They believe lies, they teach lies, they propagate lies. They don't care about the true names, they don't care about the true Sabbath, and they're going to wonder why they end up in hell for their sins when they die, because the information is there, the website's been up for, sure, I don't know, 15 years, 13 years. The mailing list has been going for 20-something years. But the website in a solid form has been there for 9 years now. There's no excuse. You've just got to go on Google and look for it. So the covenant through Yeshua makes the things that I've just mentioned easier. It's important to note that all the above were available before Yeshua, and that they were ministered by Yeshua during his time on earth as a human being under the old covenant, that is the covenant of Moshe or Moses. However, by the time that Yeshua came, the temple rites and other rituals of the Mosaic covenant had largely fallen into disrepair, and therefore the above benefits were difficult for the average person to access. Yeshua made these benefits accessible to every human being who prayed in his name and applied the simple ritual of rehearsing the covenant meal. Folks, at the time that Israel went into exile in Babylon and Jerusalem was destroyed, Jeremiah hid the Ark of the Covenant and the temple furniture in a cave under what ended up being the execution site where Yeshua died. The Babylonians destroyed the temple. From that point on, which is about something like 560 before Yeshua, there was no ritual possible to ordain a high priest or to offer an offering for sin. So Yeshua came to usher in a new way of doing things. And it's so important to understand that. If you're Jewish and you cannot get that Yeshua instituted a new covenant, you're going to be so disappointed when you die, my friend. Then the covenant meal, a simple ritual for forgiveness of sin. The greatest miracle of the life and death of Yeshua was that he lived for 33 and a half years and died a terrible death without committing a single sin. Think about it. Flogged, beaten, assaulted, nailed to a stake, and he didn't curse anyone. He didn't swear at anyone. Ask yourself how you would handle it under those circumstances. Because of what he went through, he was able to institute a new covenant, which specifically included a ritual for forgiveness of sin once it was repented of. This ritual can also be observed at any time in order to rehearse the terms of the covenant and reinforce fasts or petitions in prayer. Note that any individual or group of people may practice this ritual at any time. It does not require a priest or a pastor or a rabbi or an imam or a whatever to officiate. The covenant was instituted the moment that Yeshua died and his blood fell on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, as discussed in the article on the miracle of his death. Folks, fundamental definition of sin is breaking one of the Ten Commandments. If you sin, the minute you become aware of your sin, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I confess that I've sinned. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. Take the bread and wine, and we'll talk in a minute about how you pray about that. But folks, basically, it's easy to do this right. It's actually quite difficult to make a mess of it, and sadly, just about everybody's making a mess of it. The ritual is summarized as follows. Take bread, preferably unleavened, example, Jewish matzos or flat bread, or failing that, regular bread. Pray, Father, I recall that on the night that Yeshua was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. I ask that as I partake of this bread, that I may partake in everything that it represents to you, and that I may come to fully understand its significance and how it works, and fully understand the covenant. Note that whenever you sin, you should confess your sin, repent, and take the bread and wine as symbolizing the sacrifice for sin that was ordained by Yah through Moshe, Moses. To better understand this, see the miracle of Yeshua Jesus' death on the website. Very, very simple. The bread, as far as I can determine, the bread that's referred to in the Bible was flat bread. It's like a pizza, basically, unleavened bread. So if you have access to that, that's first prize. I generally use Jewish matzos, which I order from Amazon periodically. Failing that, you can just take regular white or brown bread. I prefer not to use leavened bread. But if that's all you've got, that's all you've got. You can also use wheat crackers, etc., little biscuits that you get from the supermarket. So there's all sorts of options in terms of what you can do here. Then take red grape juice or red wine and pray, Father, I recall that on the night that Yeshua was betrayed, he took the wine and gave it to those who followed him and said, this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. I ask it as I partake of this cup, that I may partake of everything that it represents to you, that I may come to fully understand its significance and how it works, and fully understand the covenant. In particular, I ask you to forgive me all that I've done that I ought not to have done and all that I've not done that I ought to have done. I ask you to bring to my remembrance all sins I need to confess and repent of. Where you are repenting of specific sin, then name that sin in detail. So, folks, the two pieces here. You can pray that generic prayer. Not done what I should have done, done what I should not have done, ask for forgiveness. If it's significant, you need to deal with it in detail. I did this and this and this and this, and I confess that as sin, and I repent, and I thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive my sins. And then take the bread and wine and pray as I've just outlined. Folks, don't do it. Either red grape juice or red wine. In most communities today, one or the other is readily available. As I say, preferably also unleavened bread or matzos biscuit or wafer, whatever, rather than leavened bread. But if it's at a stretch, you can go with the leavened bread. Once you have a revelation of the covenant, you can apply the blood of the covenant, the red grape juice or the red wine from the above ritual to your forehead, protect your thoughts, the nape of your neck, your right eyebrow to protect what you see, your tongue to protect what you say, the right earlobe to protect what you hear, the right thumb to protect what you write in covenant and contract, and the right big toe to guide and protect where you walk. Pray for guidance and deliverance. You must pray first for the grape juice or wine to represent the blood of the covenant, which is inherent in the prayer that I've just given you. As a general rule, you're walking in a contaminated environment, spiritually contaminated. There are demons, 100 billion demons, billions of satanic angels, satanic messengers. It's a contaminated environment. Do what I've just described on a regular basis. Take the covenant meal. Apply the bread, the blood to all the places that I've just listed. You can also anoint your house, put dabs of the grape juice on the doorposts and lintels, on the doors, the windows, the window frames. At one stage, I used to do this when I was not living in a shared property. I used to go around the entire property and the gates onto the street, etc. as well. Take it seriously. You're dealing in a horrible, ugly situation here on earth if you could but see what's going on around you. Then, coming back to the list that I gave you earlier, the right to enter heaven when you die, commonly referred to as salvation. By praying in the name of Yeshua and declaring belief in the Almighty Creator, you are the eternally self-existing. One qualifies to become a believer, and therefore one qualifies to begin a journey, the end result of which will be some position in heaven, commensurate with your service when you die. This is a big thing, folks. If you don't do this, you're going to end up as an ancestor spirit, in other words, a demon, on earth, at least till the day of judgment and possibly for eternity. It's a horrible outcome. You don't want to go there. And if you are currently in a place where you are an unbeliever or you're not sure if you believe, folks, you need to get past that point. The world is full of evidence. Look at the fruit on your table. Look at the vegetables on your table. Look at the animals. Look at the flowers in your garden. Everything speaks. It's shouting at you. There has to be a creator. There's no ways that all of this came into being by some random statistical event. It's all carefully engineered, carefully designed, carefully thought through. Beautiful fragrances, beautiful tastes. Smells, beautiful perfumes. There's no ways that this came into existence randomly and by accident. It's actually really silly if you stop and think about it. And if you are still locked in a place where you think that that's the case, I ask you to wake up. It's really, really silly. Then the right to earn a rank in heaven when you die. Specifically, you earn the right to a rank in heaven, ranging from rejection in the outer darkness because you did nothing in your life to serve Yah, to a glorious resurrected body, massive authority and power and position on a high throne in heaven for eternity because you served Yah powerfully and faithfully from the time you started believing. Folks, this is huge. You can end up at the end of your life as a really powerful person in heaven with great authority, with great rank, with great glory, ruling over a city or ruling over a nation. And then forgiveness for confessed and repented sin through prayer in the name of Yeshua. The right to practice the ritual set out a moment ago is a means of quickly and easily dealing with sin by repenting and taking the bread and wine. You must still make restitution and make right with people you wronged. So if you've stolen something, it's not good enough just to say, "Oh, Father, I thank you that you forgive me," and keep the stolen stuff in your possession. You have to take the stolen stuff back to the person you stole it from and say, "Look, I'm terribly sorry. I stole this from you. Please, may I give it back to you?" If you took it and you consumed it and it's no longer there to return, go and buy an equivalent thing and return that, or return the financial value of what you stole. If you killed somebody a little bit different, you have to ask Father what you're going to do about that. If you lied to somebody, tell them that you've lied to them. Repent, confess. Folks, this is about a different way of being. It's a different way of living life. And if you're not prepared to do that, you're going to get such a horrible shock when you die. Then easier access to answers to prayers through prayer in the name of Yeshua. Particularly as an immature believer, one can pray in the name of Yeshua and Yah has committed to hearing you and where appropriate granting the answers to your prayers. Then authority over the satanic and demonic realm through prayer in the name of Yeshua. The earth is ruled over by the satanic and demonic realm. See the article 2021-0704, the essence of my message through the satanic and demonic. By living and dying without sin, Yeshua gained authority over the satanic and demonic realm, which he then delegated to those who believe and follow his example. Thus, through prayer in the name of Yeshua, believers can cast out demons, take authority over satanic messengers, etc. As you mature, you can get into a space where you pray directly to Father, and you might come there directly anyway if you're a Muslim or a Jew. You can pray to Father directly, maybe not quite as easy. You're not a beneficiary of all of these promises unless you believe through the covenant of Yeshua. And then the satanic and demonic folks, what you need to understand is if you've got sin in your life and you try and cast out demons, cast out satanic messengers, angels, they're just going to laugh at you. They might make out that they've done something, but I saw a situation years ago, powerful anointed servant of Yah, but he had some serious errors. And one of the errors was he wasn't sending the demons, telling the demons to go where Father Yah sent, wanted them to go. So the result was that the demons were leaving. He was casting demons out. They were leaving, going to the street outside the church and jumping on somebody else. You've got to be free of sin. You've got to know what you're doing. An easier access to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, infilling with the Spirit of Yah, incorrectly called Christ, through prayer in the name of Yeshua. A key element of getting close to Father Yah and to Yeshua is to be filled with the Spirit of Yah, commonly but incorrectly referred to as Christ. This is easier through prayer in the name of Yeshua. It's not impossible if you don't know about Yeshua. It's simply easier if you know about Yeshua and you know about the covenant. But the fact is that the vast majority of so-called believers who so-called believe through Yeshua and call him Jesus get it wrong anyway. Up until 2003, there was grace for the wrong names, etc. Because we had come out of centuries of corruption and apostasy and were slowly getting back closer to Father. And he gave grace in the days of Martin Luther, etc., the Protestants. The grace had to be withdrawn before Satan could be sent to the pit for 1,000 years. And that happened on the 3rd of May, 2003. So now there's no grace. If you're a long-term believer and you've got a deep relationship, you may still get away with it. If you're not, you're not praying to Yah. That's the bottom line. Then easier access to divine healing through prayer in the name of Yeshua. In the same way, divine healing is more easily available, particularly to young or immature believers, through prayer in the name of Yeshua. So we see easier access to divine provisions. And then we see also easier access to divine provision through prayer in the name of Yeshua. So it's written regarding Yeshua, by his stripes you were healed. In Yah's sight, if you're a believer and you're walking in the covenant of Yeshua, you're healed. Doesn't matter what the symptoms are, doesn't matter what it feels like, what it looks like. The key thing there is to realize that Yeshua died so that you could be healed. Say, Father, I receive my healing now in the name of Yeshua, and give thanks for the healing. And it may take you days, weeks, months, or years to receive the manifestation. It depends on where you are from a Emunah faith perspective. But it's there for you. You can come to a place where you virtually never fall ill. I've walked for years without really major illness. I had a touch of COVID, but all that was a day in bed, and that was it. I have the sniffles now and again, but nothing serious. So something like 20 years I've walked without any serious illness. It's available to you. It's a faith thing. It's an emunah thing. And divine provision, that you have enough to live on, and then you have enough for abundance. It's Father's will for you to have healing. It's the Father's will for you to have financial provision. He doesn't want you living in poverty, but you've got to get your faith, your emunah, up there and realize it and claim it and receive it. Other points, in general, particularly for young or immature believers, prayer in the name of Yeshua makes things easier. You've got Yeshua interceding on your behalf. It helps. If you're a mature believer with a strong relationship with Father, you may not need to use the name of Yeshua that much. In conclusion, the covenant of Yeshua is powerful, and it's an essential element of any believer drawing really close to Father Yah. It's not to say that you can't get close to Yah without knowing about Yeshua. I'm aware of Jewish and Muslim people who are close to Father. It's simply a lot easier through the covenant of Yeshua. And that said, the Christians have made such a mess of teaching about the covenant of Yeshua that it's no wonder that a lot of people are ignorant of it and don't walk in it. And the key thing, as I said, is you've got to live without sin. Not just maybe or perhaps or wouldn't it be nice. No, you've got to work at it. So you need to understand what sin is so you can stop doing it. So you need to understand the Ten Commandments and make sure that you faithfully comply with all 10 of the commandments, including the ones about lying, including the one about not committing murder, which means you don't use abortive contraceptives, intrauterine devices, abortive tablets, etc. Means you look after your parents well and honor them. Means you observe the Saturday Sabbath and the six major high Sabbaths. Means you call Father Yah and not the Lord or God. Means that you call Yeshua, Yeshua, not Jesus, and so forth. So I'd like to close off by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator today? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, the key thing to get about this life is there's only one reason this entire universe exists. There's only one reason why the planet exists, why you exist, is to be a friend of the Almighty Creator. If you are not seeking to become a friend of the Almighty Creator, you are wasting your life. It doesn't matter how much fun you're having, doesn't matter how much money you've got, etc., etc., etc. If you are not His friend, you're wasting your life. If you're not actively serving Him, at the very least, you're wasting your life. If you're not making a real effort to live about sin, above sin, you're wasting your life. You are here for one reason only, to become His friend. All the rest is fluff and stuff. Seriously, it's fluff and stuff, folks. I don't care how much fun you're having. Then, to wrap up, key documents and a video on the main menu of the website, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, The Essence of My Message to Christians, also articles for Jews, Muslims, other faiths, and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio, in quotes. You'll find that there's at least four podcast websites that have back issues of these broadcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page in formatted PDF format, so you can just download them and have them printed by your local print shop. Covers are there as well. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. To be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud table of contents and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Those are all along the top of the website. The Google search is particularly powerful. Lots of information, 2,500 articles, over 1,000 web pages. Answers to a lot of the questions that you may have. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I can't stress it enough. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, tall or short, thin or fat, healthy or ill. It doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter if you're Christian or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or Confucius or Yogi or Baha'i or Satanist or witch or warlock or agnostic or atheist or whatever. Doesn't matter whether you're African or Asian or European or Caucasian, or doesn't matter whether you're black or white or whatever. It doesn't matter whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes or black hair and brown eyes or all the stuff that people talk about. It's irrelevant, folks. Whoever you are, wherever you are, Father Yah, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, wants to become your friend. Just step out today. Say, Father, James says I can become your friend. In the name of Yeshua, I want to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. Bring the people you want into my life. Take the people you don't want out of my life. Show me what to read. Help me to get there. Thank you so much, everybody. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.